All right, let's dive into Thoughts on Building Strong Towns by Charles Marone. This one's especially for you, you know, since you're leading our Think and Act Locally initiative, and I know you're looking for ways to make our community even better.
Yeah.
So it'll be cool to explore this together, you know, see what we can learn. We've got this collection of essays that really get into how we plan and build our towns and cities, all looking through this strong towns lens.
It's perfect, you know, for anyone who wants to make a difference. And Marone, he dives right into some really thought-provoking ideas.
Speaking of thought-provoking, there was one statement that really stopped me in my tracks. He says, engineers should not design streets. What? I mean, that seems so counterintuitive. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it does. But the Strong Towns philosophy, it makes this really key distinction between roads and streets. So, like, roads are all about efficiency, right? Moving cars as fast as possible.
From point A to point B.
Exactly. But streets, well, they're more like the heart of a town, you know, where people interact and businesses thrive.
So it's more than just asphalt and traffic lights, then.
Oh, yeah, way more. Marone, he uses this great analogy. He says you can't just plant a bunch of trees in rows and expect to get a thriving forest. A forest is this complex ecosystem, you know, with all these plants and animals interacting. Streets are kind of the same way. They need that messy vitality. You can't just apply a formula and expect it to work.
I'm getting that. So if engineers shouldn't be the primary street designers, then who should be?
Well, it's not about excluding them completely. They have a super important role to play. It's more about having a collaborative approach. So residents, business owners, all sorts of professionals, they all need to be involved in shaping the vision.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, the community should be driving the design. And then engineers can bring their technical know-how to make it a reality.
That's a pretty big shift in thinking. Makes you wonder how many other assumptions we make about city building that might be holding us back. I'm thinking about that statement. Sprawl is not the problem. That one really got me thinking.
Oh, yeah. He's not defending sprawl. He's pointing to something much deeper. He calls it the suburban experiment. Basically, we've built so many towns around cheap energy and outward expansion.
Which, you know, hasn't worked out so well in a lot of places.
Right, and it's become unsustainable. Think of places like Lehigh Acres and Northport in Florida, these huge developments that boomed because of affordable housing. But now they're dealing with poverty and crumbling infrastructure.
And those aren't isolated cases either. We see those same challenges popping up all over.
Yeah, all over. Seems like the experiment had some serious flaws.
It does.
Yeah, we've built all these communities that depend so much on cars. And that has a massive cost, both financially and socially. You know, we're seeing the consequences now. No walkability, isolation, and then the struggle to keep up essential services.
Like our roads.
Exactly. All symptoms of a model that just isn't built for the long haul.
It makes you wonder what a better model would look like and how we could start to move in that direction. This idea of walkability comes up again and again. Marone, he even tells this story about seeing vandalism while he was biking. And he was actually able to intervene because he was right there.
Wow.
Yeah, if he'd been in a car, he probably wouldn't have even noticed.
That's a perfect example of how walkable neighborhoods create those eyes on the street. Makes them safer, more vibrant.
It really does.
Yeah. You know, when people are out and about interacting with their surroundings, it fosters this sense of community. Everyone feels more connected, more accountable.
And that aligns perfectly with our Think and Act Locally goals. Knowing your neighbors, looking out for each other, building that sense of community from the ground up. Marone even talks about community gardens, how those can help create those connections.
Whoa, absolutely. Imagine strolling down the street and bumping into your neighbors in the community garden. It breaks down barriers, makes you feel like you belong.
You're not just living in a house, you're part of something bigger. So how do we make all this happen? How do we create that stronger, more walkable community? Right here.
Yeah.
You know, we're all about taking action, finding those practical solutions.
I hear you. Well, the first step is to think differently about growth and development. Instead of focusing on these huge, expensive projects, let's shift our focus to incremental changes. Changes that actually give us a tangible return.
I like that.
Yeah. Small steps.
Small steps, exactly. And think about tactical urbanism. That's where you use simple things like paint, cones, planters.
Just to test out ideas, you know, like bike lanes or crosswalks.
A low-cost way to experiment.
Exactly, and get feedback from the community.
Get people excited and involved.
Yeah, try things out before making permanent changes.
I can see how that would really build momentum.
Absolutely. But just as important is cultivating that culture of civic engagement. You know, strong towns, they thrive when residents, business owners, and local leaders, they all work together towards those shared goals.
Working together.
Yeah, it's about listening to different perspectives, finding that common ground, building a shared vision for the future.
This is giving me so much to think about, so much to discuss with our team. I know we're just scratching the surface here, but I'm already feeling really optimistic.
Me too. It's exciting to see how these Strongtowns ideas can be applied locally and how they can help us build a more vibrant, resilient, and equitable community.
Yeah, and what about affordable housing? That's a huge concern for so many communities. It feels like a mountain to climb, especially with all the changes happening with federal funding. What does Strongtowns have to say about that?
Well, Marone, he cautions against relying too heavily on these large-scale federal programs. He believes we need to explore more local, community-driven solutions.
So looking inward.
Exactly. And he puts a lot of emphasis on preserving the affordable housing we already have. One idea he talks about is tiered code enforcement.
Tiered code enforcement. I haven't heard of that.
Yeah. It's about recognizing that small-scale landlords, they face a lot of challenges. And instead of just hitting them with fines for minor violations, we should be offering them support.
Working with them.
Exactly. It's a much more collaborative and realistic approach to code enforcement, and it can help keep housing affordable without displacing people.
That makes a lot of sense. Working with people, not against them. Along with protecting existing affordable housing, Maron also talks about unlocking more incremental growth.
Yeah.
In the housing supply, he brings up this missing middle housing idea a lot.
Yes, the missing middle. So it refers to those smaller multi-unit buildings like duplexes and triplexes.
The kind that fit so well into walkable neighborhoods.
Exactly. They provide a wider range of options and they're more affordable. And they can help revitalize existing areas without having to build those massive apartment complexes.
And if we're trying to move away from car-dependent sprawl,
right,
those missing middle types, they just make sense.
They do.
It's about creating those walkable neighborhoods with a mix of housing choices.
Right, which is more equitable and sustainable in the long run.
Absolutely.
It's about making better use of the land we already have and building a community that works for everyone.
This is all incredibly relevant to our Think and Act Locally initiative. We need to take a close look at our zoning codes, ask ourselves some tough questions. Are we accidentally creating barriers to these missing middle options? Are we actually hindering the solutions we need?
That's a crucial question to be asking. Sometimes, even our well-intentioned policies can end up having unintended consequences. Consequences that actually work against our goals.
Right.
We need to be willing to challenge the status quo and find ways to make our regulations work for us, not against us.
I agree. This conversation is already giving me so much to think about, so much to discuss with our team. We're just getting started, but I'm feeling really optimistic about the possibilities.
Me too. It's really exciting. Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah. And it really shows how connected all these issues are. We can't talk about affordable housing without talking about transportation, right? It's all part of this bigger picture, building a stronger, more resilient community.
Right. Like we've been so focused on cars, we've forgotten there are other ways to get around.
Exactly. Marone, he says we need to rethink our whole approach to transportation. A strong town, it recognizes that transportation should serve the community, not the other way around.
Interesting way to put it. So what does that actually look like, having a transportation system that serves the community?
Well, it means moving away from that car-centric mindset, recognizing the value of walking, biking, public transit. Instead of just moving cars efficiently, we need to prioritize people and local businesses.
So expanding our options, making those alternatives more appealing, convenient, safe. But we're so used to just hopping in our cars. It feels like a huge shift.
It is a big shift. But we can start small. Think about improving our bus routes, maybe adding more frequent service, expanding the network, or remember those tactical urbanism projects?
Yeah.
We could try out temporary bike lanes. Or protected intersections. See how they work in practice.
Yeah, I love that. Those small bets, those incremental steps that can create a ripple effect. We don't need to change everything overnight. We can build on what we have, adapt as we go.
Exactly. And it's not just about infrastructure either. We need to be more honest about the costs of our transportation choices. Marone talks about the dangers of the growth Ponzi scheme, where we focus on short-term gains instead of long-term sustainability.
Growth Ponzi scheme? That sounds kind of scary. What does that actually look like in practice?
It's that if we build it, they will come mentality. You know, making these huge investments in roads and infrastructure, hoping to attract new development, but without thinking about the long-term costs.
And then we end up with these sprawling communities.
Right, that are expensive to maintain. And those costs often fall on the shoulders of the people who already live there.
So it's about being more strategic, more thoughtful, making sure those big infrastructure decisions really benefit the community.
Absolutely. Sometimes the best thing to do is just say no. You know, have the discipline to resist those flashy developments, the ones that promise growth but could actually drain our resources.
Yeah, I see how that could be a tough call, especially when there's pressure for economic development. But it makes sense to think about the true costs and benefits.
Exactly. It's about being responsible with our community's resources. And that ties back to the idea of incrementalism. Instead of making these big, irreversible investments, we can start with smaller, manageable projects that let us top things out, adapt as we go.
This is making a lot of sense. We can apply this thinking to so many areas, not just infrastructure. I'm seeing how the Strong Towns approach really is about empowering communities to create a more sustainable future.
Exactly. And a more prosperous future. And it's not just about finances either. It's about supporting local businesses, fostering a culture of production.
Yeah.
You know, with the rise of the democratized economy, small businesses and entrepreneurs, they have more opportunities than ever before.
I've definitely noticed that. It seems like so many people are starting their own businesses these days.
It's exciting. And it's something we can encourage here in our community. You know, invest in those local businesses that make our town unique. Create a more vibrant and self-reliant local economy.
I love that. It's about celebrating what makes our town special, our history, our culture, our people, and creating a sense of pride and belonging. And that goes back to walkable neighborhoods, right? When you have those local businesses, those amenities, all within walking distance.
Exactly. It all contributes to that sense of community, a place where people want to live, work, raise their families, a place that's financially sound and socially thriving.
And Moran also talks a lot about civic engagement, right? He says strong towns are built by engaged citizens.
He's absolutely right. It's not enough to just vote. We need to be active in our communities. Go to meetings, volunteer, speak up about the issues that matter to us.
Take ownership.
Exactly. Contribute our time, our talents, our resources.
And that includes challenging the status quo, right? He really encourages us to question those assumptions, push back against those outdated policies.
Absolutely. Sometimes change means disrupting the way things have always been done.
Yeah.
We need to ask tough questions, raise uncomfortable issues, push for new solutions.
Be willing to rock the boat a little.
Exactly. And be willing to learn from our mistakes along the way. Building a strong town, it's an ongoing process. We're going to make mistakes. But the key is to embrace them as opportunities to learn and grow.
Have that growth mindset.
Exactly.
This is really resonating with me, how this conversation is connecting so many different things.
Yeah.
From walkability to affordable housing to civic engagement.
It's all connected. And that's what's so great about the Strong Towns approach. It gives you this holistic framework for thinking about our community. It's not about finding one perfect solution. It's about shifting our mindset, embracing a new way of doing things.
Moran, he isn't shy away from those tough topics either. He gets into the role of traffic stops in our communities, which sparked a lot of discussion in our Think and Act Locally group.
It's a complex issue, and he raises some really important points. He argues that we need to rethink how we approach traffic enforcement, especially for those minor infractions, you know, the ones that don't really pose a safety risk.
He tells some stories about his own experiences with traffic stops, how a lot of us do those minor things all the time, like rolling through a stop sign or driving a little over the speed limit without even thinking about it. And he asks, are traffic stops really the best way to handle those minor issues?
Right. And he talks about the risks to drivers and to the officers. He suggests looking at alternatives, like using technology to record those infractions and issue tickets without that face-to-face interaction.
That's an interesting idea. It would definitely reduce the risk and free up officers to focus on more serious violations.
Exactly. It's about using our resources wisely. And Marone also challenges us to look at the root causes of those violations. Like, if people are always speeding on a certain road, maybe it's because the road itself is poorly designed.
So instead of just punishing drivers, we should be looking at how the environment is influencing their behavior.
Exactly. Design our streets and roads in a way that encourages safe driving. And recognize that our current approach, well, it can have unintended consequences, especially in certain communities. And it can erode trust between law enforcement and the people they're supposed to be serving.
It's a reminder that we need to be constantly evaluating our policies, make sure they're fair, equitable for everyone.
Absolutely. Building a strong town, it's about creating a community where everyone feels safe, respected, valued. It's about promoting justice and equity in every aspect of community life.
We've covered so much ground, but there's still so much to unpack. Marone's book is full of ideas and insights.
It is, and it's inspiring to see how these ideas are being put into practice all over the country. It gives me hope that we can build a better future, one strong town at a time.
It does give you hope, you know?
Yeah.
Even though it can feel overwhelming at times, we can make a difference by focusing on what we can control, right? Our own actions, our community.
Exactly. Celebrate those little wins along the way. Like maybe you choose to walk to the store instead of driving, or you support a local business,
yeah.
Or you have a conversation with your neighbors about making your street safer. Those everyday things, they might seem small, but they add up over time.
They do. It's about changing our habits, changing our mindset, our culture, one step at a time. And speaking of mindset, Marone talks a lot about humility, you know, when it comes to city building.
Yeah, he challenges that whole idea of the all-knowing planner, right? The one who comes in with this grand vision and imposes it on everyone. Instead, he's all about a more iterative, experimental approach, you know, acknowledging that we don't have all the answers and being willing to learn from our mistakes.
So being flexible. Yeah. Adaptable, willing to change course as we go. It's almost like a science experiment where we're testing and refining our ideas based on the data.
Exactly. And the best data comes from the community itself. Marone, he really believes that the people who live and work in a place, well, they're the real experts on what that place needs.
They have that lived experience, that firsthand knowledge.
Exactly. It only makes sense to tap into that. And let the community guide the process.
Empower them.
Empower them, exactly. And recognize that every community is unique. There's no one-size-fits-all solution. What works in one town might not work in another.
So it's about finding those local solutions, right? The ones that address the specific needs of our community.
Exactly. Be creative, be innovative, try new things, and accept that we're not going to get it perfect the first time. We'll make mistakes. But the important thing is to learn from them and adapt.
That's such a good point. It's easy to get discouraged when things don't go as planned.
It is.
But those setbacks, they can be valuable learning moments if we approach them with the right attitude.
Absolutely. And building a strong town, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon, you know? It takes time, patience, persistence. Embrace the challenges, but also the opportunities.
I like that analogy. One of the more challenging concepts Marone talks about is the neighbor's dilemma. That one really stuck with me, especially thinking about our Think and Act Locally discussions. Could you explain that a little bit?
Sure. The neighbor's dilemma, it's about that tension between individual self-interest and the collective good. We see it all the time with things like new development or zoning changes.
Hmm.
People might oppose a project in their neighborhood, even if it would benefit the community as a whole.
The not in my backyard mentality.
Exactly.
Which is understandable. Mm-hmm. You know, people are worried about things like traffic and their property values.
Right. And Marone says this dilemma is even stronger in those car-dependent communities. Because when everyone's relying on cars to get around, any increase in density or traffic feels like a threat.
Makes sense. If you're already spending hours stuck in traffic, you're not going to be happy about anything that can make it worse, even if it means more affordable housing or a more vibrant downtown.
Exactly. So the question is, how do we overcome that? How do we get people to think beyond just their own self-interest and embrace those changes that would benefit everyone?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
What does Marone suggest?
Well, one key idea is to create more walkable, mixed-use neighborhoods. In those types of environments, more density doesn't always equal more traffic. In fact, it can often lead to a more vibrant street life with people out and about, walking, biking, connecting with their neighbors.
So it's about giving people options, right? Breaking free from that car-centric model.
Mm-hmm.
Create communities where people can walk to the store, the park, their friend's house, without needing a car for every single trip.
Exactly. And it's about understanding that building a strong town, well, sometimes it means making tough choices, choices that require compromise and a willingness to put the collective good ahead of our own individual wants.
It's about shifting our mindset from me to we, thinking about what's best for the whole community.
Exactly. And I think that's such a powerful message, especially in a world that can feel so divided and individualistic. The Strong Towns approach, it reminds us that we're all connected and that our choices have an impact, not just on our own lives, but on the well-being of our communities and the planet.
I love that. It's a message of hope and empowerment.
Yeah.
It reminds us that we can create change, starting right here, right now.
Absolutely. It's a call to action for all of us to get involved, think critically about the challenges we face, and work together to build a better future.
This has been so insightful. I know our listeners are going to have so many ideas.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are some key takeaways you want them to think about?
Well, first and foremost, I hope they'll embrace that shift in mindset, you know, moving away from that top-down planning and embracing a more bottom-up, community-driven approach. Real change happens at the local level.
That resonates so much with our Think and Act Locally initiative.
Exactly.
It's about taking ownership.
Taking ownership, yes.
And building a strong town. It's not about finding that one magic solution, right?
Right. It's about embracing a set of principles that can guide our decisions, our investments, our actions.
So it's more of a framework.
A framework, exactly.
A way of thinking?
A way of thinking, yeah.
And there's a lot of room for creativity within that framework.
Absolutely.
Innovation, local adaptation.
Find what works best for your community. Take those small bets and keep learning, keep evolving.
I find that really encouraging. We have the power to shape our own future.
We do.
Create a community that's resilient, prosperous, vibrant, equitable.
All of those things.
It reminds us that we're not just passive bystanders.
We're active participants.
We can create the world we want to see.
Exactly.
And even though the challenges can feel huge sometimes, we can overcome them. By working together, thinking and acting locally, embracing those strong towns principles, we can build a brighter future for our community and inspire others to do the same. This conversation has been so enlightening. I know our listeners are going to be buzzing with ideas. So as we wrap up our deep dive into thoughts on building strong towns, what's our final thought, our call to action?
I think the most important thing is to just get started. Don't wait for permission. Don't wait for someone else to take the lead. Start asking questions. Challenge those assumptions. Talk to your neighbors. What small bet can you make today to start moving your community in the right direction?
That's a great question to ponder. And on that note, we'll wrap up our deep dive into thoughts on building strong towns. We hope you found it as insightful and inspiring as we have. Remember, building a strong town starts with thinking and acting locally. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, keep diving deep.